Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. We welcome Canadian singer-songwriter Dan Mangan to the cafe today. He's from Vancouver. He recently released his second album, Nice, Nice, Very Nice, in the States. It was shortlisted for the Polaris Prize in Canada this year. That's the equivalent of the Mercury Prize in the UK, a Critics Award for the best album. I started out by asking Dan how Nice, Nice, Very Nice, the new album, was different from his debut, Postcards and Daydreaming.
Well, you know, when I made my first album, I was, I think, like 21 or so, and I basically had written, you know, a chunk of songs, you know, 12 or 13 songs, and then recorded all of them. And I'd gone out and gotten like a bank loan and kind of just tried to kind of front the bill myself. And you know, I think I was kind of young, and even though I'm quite proud of that work, and if I hadn't done that, then I never would have moved on. You know, at the same time, I basically, you know, made this album and had no idea what to do with it. I didn't know what was entailed in kind of releasing an album, and I didn't have any label or an agent or anything like that. And so I just basically started to book my own shows and do everything I could. You know, I figured if I don't have a label, then I need to be a label. And what does that mean? And then, you know, over those 4 years, I think I'd spent a lot of time away from home, a lot of time away from my family. And it was, you know, a lot of songs had ruminated. So by the time that, you know, I felt ready to take the plunge financially and record another record, you know, and 4.5 years had passed, and I was feeling kind of ready to move on. And I think I just matured and kind of grown into my skin quite a bit in that maturation process. So the songs the next time around, I think, were just a little bit more solid and well thought through. And it's been an incredible year since then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell you what, why don't you do a tune, and then we'll talk more about this music and things that have happened this year. What do you want to begin with?
I believe we're going to start with a song called Sold. The suits had come from me. Found alternatives to honesty. Body and soul were bought and sold. Patented and out of reach, so I reach, but it hurts. It kills, it screams, it fills my heart with chills. And I take my pills, but I'm still tired of sleeping with the light on. If it keeps the hair out of my eye, pack it up and send it home. For just one stab at the good life, that's enough, and I'm I gave up all my wretched thoughts, left them out for the less fortunate. Now at the gate I'll skip the queue. Life's not living unless you're sure to make it through. But now it hurts, it kills, it screams, and it fills my heart with chills. And I take my pills, but I'm still sleeping with the light on. Ooh. But if it keeps the hair out of my eye, pack it up and send it home. For just one stab at the good life, that's Lord, I'm sold. Oh,
pack me up, I'm sold. Go and pack me up, I'm sold. Go and pack me up, I'm sold. Go and pack me up, I'm sold. And if he keeps the hair out of my eyes, pack it up and send it home for just one stab at the good life. That's enough, and I'm sold.
That is Sold, one of the tunes from Nice, Nice, Very Nice, the new album from Dan Mangan, which is out on Arts and Crafts. And Dan and his band, who's playing in the band today, Dan?
I've got with me some nice gentlemen. I've got Mr. Kenton Lowen on the drums. I've got John Walsh on the bass and Gordon Gardina on the electric guitar.
You know, you talked about writing this album after doing that do-it-yourself touring for so long. And, you know, it's sort of the write what you know definitely comes through on this record, is that there are a bunch of songs about being in a band. And, and one of the things that I actually love about this record is you do what some songwriters say, don't do. Don't just write about yourself, you know. It's going to be deadly. But you do it in a manner that I am sucked in completely. And all credit goes to you for that. Did you have a check on yourself on how you express things and how you decided what parts of you to reveal?
Oh, man. First off, that's kind of you to say. And secondly, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is that moment when you're kind of talking. There's a couple of songs in particular on the record. I mean, there's a song called You Silly Git.
Right.
And the you that I'm referring to is clearly myself in that song. And, you know, I there are certain lines on the record that when I hear them, I'm like, oh, man, I am kind of divulging things about myself that are kind of personal. But I also feel like, you know, if I have felt a certain way in my life, you know, day to day, if I have kind of come across a certain set of emotions or experiences, then it's a fairly safe bet to suggest that most other people on this planet, and I would even hazard to say that every single one of them, has felt that same way on a different day at a different time for a different reason.
One of the themes on the album is the pull of home, which I get at the time was Vancouver, certainly, and the allure of the road. And you do write a great road song in Road Regrets. Not that it paints it, you know, anyway, but the way it is. Maybe what exactly is a road regret? Because you refer to it in the song as if specific types of things are road regrets.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think everybody's mind immediately goes to some deviant sexual act or something like that.
I was hoping, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that would make for good radio anyhow. Really, I'm a pretty tame guy on the road. I that song was actually particularly written on, I had done about 6 days straight driving completely alone in the car, and I wasn't playing any gigs or anything. I wasn't meeting anyone. I was just like driving until exhaustion, and then, you know, finding like a cheap motel, and then driving till exhaustion, and then finding a cheap motel. So it was 6 days of really tough driving, and you know, the kind of closest I've been to off my rocker. And I was driving between El Paso and Austin, I believe. Maybe no, I was driving into El Paso from Las Cruces, and it was a really, really bad thunderstorm happening, and there was rain coming down, and you know, it was just a really treacherous drive, and it was late at night, and it was dark, and I immediately had this kind of thought, or this kind of epiphany in the car. I was thinking, I don't know where and what states in America get tornadoes. And it was this kind of bizarre thing about, you know, does Texas get tornadoes? I don't know. I mean, I know that Kansas does because of Wizard of Oz, but I don't know what other places do. So You know, I mean, the term road regret was almost referring to just a lack of preparation or, you know, a lack, you know, I should have brought somebody with me on that tour. I should have, you know, gotten more sleep. I should be drinking less coffee. I should be doing, you know, all of these things. I should be treating myself better. And that was more what the road regrets line was kind of referring to. But I don't ever, but with every week on the road, I could think up and tell you a new one. So.
Gotcha. Well, you can do that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, let's give this a roll.
Drive until the gas is gone, and then walk until our feet are torn. Crawl until we feed the soil. Film the whole thing. It's all business in the left hand lane. Drive there and then drive back again. Escape can't be the only way to escape. So I've gotten used to coffee sweat, still getting used to road regrets. Hell, I took you up on all your threats to leave. It's a shame to crying shame. Them's the brakes. And ain't it that takes you back to from where it is you came? And Robbie likes his country too. It's never been the lens that I see through. But I guess driving for a week or two puts words in your mouth. If I dodge and then get out of it, it's about as country as I get. See, you ain't living until you are living dead. Not dead till you die. But watch out for the pair. Or they will crowd you, then they will take your legs. See, the cost is more than what you get paid. But do it anyway. It's a shame to cry. Them's the brakes, and ain't it always the way that takes you back to from where it is you came?
Road Regrets, Dan Mangan, the tune that begins Nice, Nice, Very Nice. His album out here in the States on Arts and Crafts. We're getting a chance to hear the tunes live with this great band. One other kind of theme. Don't you love it when people kind of find themes in your work, whether or not they're there or not?
It's natural. It's natural.
There's kind of a relationship between you and what one could describe as the indie hipster world on this album. There's the song Indie Queens Are Waiting and another one called Tina's Glorious Comeback, where you seem to be kind of speaking to the music community that certainly you are part of. And I was wondering, for instance, on Tina's Glorious Comeback, I think what you're saying is what we're creating is maybe not going to measure up to these amazing things that have happened in the past. You know, refer to Tom.
Oh, Waits, interesting. And, you know, that's the first time I've had that response to that song. I like the idea that a song can kind of exude any kind of meaning to anyone, and I can't really be too precious about my own meanings. But actually, Tina's Glorious Comeback is about my relationship with my hometown.
Ah.
And the idea that there's a line, we're not us, you know.
Right.
And that's when we were kids, or when I was a kid, you know, I had this impression of Vancouver, and I don't know if you've spent time there, but Vancouver is a beautiful, beautiful city. It's kind of like Seattle, but it's just a little bit more greener with more parks and stuff like that. And I just, you know, had such a love affair with Vancouver when I was a kid. And as I've gotten older, you know, the city has changed quite a bit, and I was getting jaded and cynical about my own nostalgia toward the city. And then I kind of realized that that's how everybody feels about everything. You know, I think that's kind of just about being an adult and kind of having these fantasized ideas of what it was to be a kid. And so that's kind of what that song is about. You know, it's like the city of Vancouver. We're not Elvis. We're not Frankie in his wild years. And we aren't the triumphant return yet, the Tina's Glorious Comeback of the city. But I don't mean to stray too far from your initial question about the kind of indie music scene. And you're right. That's a scene that I'm very, very much a part of. And, you know, I don't... The song Indie Queens Are Waiting has been taken a number of different ways, and it's kind of punchy toward the kind of scenester scene in Vancouver. But, you know, it's really not meant to be a slap in the face so much as a poke in the ribs.
Is it worthwhile to have a conversation comparing the scene in Vancouver, which has really come up of late, and Toronto and Montreal, where, you know, there's been real established kind of music scenes? Do you feel like a second or third city at all, or does it?
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vancouver has always played kind of third fiddle in Canada. We up until recently, Calgary is actually larger than Vancouver population-wise, but they have the oil. Vancouver was always the third largest city, and Montreal and Toronto have always been the kind of hubs of culture. And they're just older cities. I mean, you look at, you know, New York versus, you know, I don't know, Portland or something. I mean, Portland has a beautiful, amazing music scene, but New York just has more sweat in the walls. You know, it's just there's been a longer period of time for people to do crazy artistic things, and I think Vancouver is, you know, is a younger city than any of those. I mean, it's like 100 years old or something like that, 120 years old.
Tell me about Robots. It was the first video for single in Canada, and it really got embraced, did it not?
Yeah, well, we had been playing that song live, and I had been doing it alone live for a while before the record was made. And so I think that when the record was finished, that was the song that people who had any familiarity with me before could immediately kind of gravitate to because it was familiar. You know, I've had a lot of questions about that song and about what the lyrics mean, and I think I've kind of boiled it down to two things. I think the song is partially about, you know, my own and the world's addiction to new technology, and the idea that the closer we get to being connected with technology at all times, the more we need to strive to also maintain those human relationships that, you know, kind of keep us human. But I also, the actual original inspiration for that song came from the idea that I had met people in my life that seemed to act completely out of reaction to the world around them. They were absolutely influenced, but not influencing anything. And seemingly were kind of acted less like humans and more like robots and people who were just kind of, you know, playing the game and not really giving anything of themselves to the world around them. And so I was kind of thinking, you know, that's really frustrating and that's really annoying to kind of come across people like that. But at the same time, it is those people who probably need love the most. You know, it's the people who are, you know, the biggest jerks that you've met in your life are the ones who need the most hugs. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And you can do that one?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do that one for you.
I don't know what you've been told, but I don't get out much these days. Waking young and feeling old, the days are no longer my own. To away the waking hours, but don't let them go. Don't let them go. To waste the fire in my eye is fleeting now. Your robot heart is bleeding. Try to be the robot king and settled for a robot boy. Oh, ring the bells that still can ring and sing your stupid head off to the ones who are not listening. Oh, but don't let them go. Don't let them go. To waste the fire in my eye is fleeting now. Your robot heart is bleeding out. And I spent half of my life in the customer service line. Flaws in the design, a sign of the times. And that little voice in the back of your mind just wants you to know, just hopes that you know. Robots need love. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by robots. Need love too. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by robots. Love too. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by you. They want to be loved by you.
Dan Mangan, Robots. Another song from Nice, Nice, Very Nice. And our thanks to Dan for being our guest today here on the World Cafe. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.